Welcome to the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Now, it's not often that we get to hear about how dementia is treated on the African continent, so I was delighted when this week's guest, Anderson Simfukwe, founder of Alzheimer's Disease and Related Dementias in Zambia, agreed to be my guest. Anderson, welcome to the D Word. It's lovely to meet you. I'm sure we've got a lot to chat about, really interesting subject matter. Before we go into everything, I wonder if just give us a little bit of background of how you first got involved with dementia as a subject.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Thank you very much for actually hosting me on your program. Actually, this started way back in the 90s, yes. Dad was a miner in the copper belt of Zambia, was working there. So after retirement, he came back to the village. He retired from the mines and he went back to the village, his home village. So there, after some good 15 years or so, he had a huge head of cattle there. So from there, there were some kind of jealousy. People are not happy with what he was amassing for himself as a family, and the family. So they started all sorts of things. By then, after he retired, he was almost 60 years or 65 plus years. So you add the 15, he was around 8 years. So they would invite these traditional healers to come and cleanse, exercise the communities. So most of the time, Dad was found wanting. We never knew why, but it was not until he got very sick and we took him to the hospital. That's where I first time heard the term dementia. The doctor said, your dad is he's advancing in age. There's a disease, a term called dementia. Then he actually narrated to me all the possible manifestation of dementia as their symptoms. And the three quarters of all the symptoms just pointed to what Dad was exactly doing. Because at times he would go wandering, we'll start looking for him, we'll go missing in the communities. Then those who are kind enough, they'll bring him. Now, since he had the label of being accused of practicing witchcraft, others would just look at him like that. So at one point, there came this traditional healer who said Dad was practicing witchcraft. Now, this actually was coincident with what the doctor told me at the hospital. And I actually explained everything to the family members to say actually Dad was not a wizard, was a witch of some kind. When the witch finder asked him, are you responsible for the deaths around here? He would say, yes. Now, from there, I understood that it was something with his condition, processing of answers and all those things, that actually made him. Today, you say yes. The other time, you say no. It's not me. The other time, you say yes, it's me. So it was out of that actually we formed an organization called Aged Care and Service Center. So it was a voluntary organization. We just volunteered, the 10 of us, who felt we were being affected. Because that time, it was during the period of HIV/AIDS. So many people died in the community. So instead of singling out or zeroing in that it's HIV that actually made people to die, they will falsely accuse elderly people and they started killing them in cold blood. So we said, no, this is not it. You can't just allow such a thing to continue. That's how we formed that organization. And we engaged the police, we engaged the Ministry of Social Welfare to help us with this. We would ask the traditional healers to prove to us that this person they are telling us is a witch or a wizard. There was no empirical evidence to show that this person actually is the one behind all the killings in the communities. So what did we do? We started now sensitizing the community. We really impacted on the community such that people started now coming out from their slumber and what they believed in. So this organization grew. From there, Dad also passed on from his age. He died. May he so rest in peace. So now, it now started from other communities, districts, and this were hearing news. An 85-year-old man has been murdered on suspicion that he's been practicing witchcraft. And it was everywhere. So we actually had to put up a very concerted effort to put up these sensitization workshop outreach programs to various communities so that we could actually sensitize the community and they move away from those myths and the narrative surrounding witchcraft. We actually told them that it was actually dementia, one of the five, especially Alzheimer's disease, that actually affected the brains of people. That's why you find that today he says this, the other day he says this, you find him wandering, you find him doing all sorts of those things. So it wasn't an easy thing. We had to mount a very vigorous campaign to actually demystify dementia, inform the communities that actually dementia was actually in place and it was there. People who actually are in advanced age, not all of them, but some, they actually succumb to such conditions. So that's how we actually went to that one and informed the communities. We started moving from one district to another, from one district to another, until we had our organization registered. So since it was just Aged Care and Service Center, we sat in 2016, we sat down and thought we should actually change the name of the organization. That's how we came up with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias in Zambia. And this organization was registered, and that's how we are now operating here in Zambia.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're in tune with the D Word podcast and my guest Anderson Simfogwe from Alzheimer's and other related dementias in Zambia. You've got quite a job on, haven't you? Because, I've just looked up, my geography isn't brilliant, but I estimate that Zambia is about three times the size of the UK. So you've got quite an area and obviously a very diverse population to deal with.
The area is big, but the population of Zambia doesn't grow much. We are just 20 million currently, 20 million. So about, 700 to 800 or a million people are aged people. Then among those, there are those who are actually affected by those accusations of witchcraft.
And in terms of the kind of standard health services, if someone wants to get a diagnosis of dementia, how does that work?
That has been a very, very huge challenge. At one point, we had done a survey to find out if people in these health institutions understand dementia and all those related illnesses. They'll tell you to say, no, we heard this came in at the medical school, we heard this, but there's nothing actually to show that Diri people know and understand the condition, and they understand these other diseases, malaria and that. So diagnosis is really difficult. It's a very big challenge. Very few find that in the whole of Zambia, we only have maybe 5 neurologists, those who can diagnose and actually come to that point to say, this is dementia, this is Alzheimer's, this is Parkinson's, this is what? So diagnosis is a challenge. We are also lobbying the government to actually increase, or rather to bring this course, dementia courses, under geriatrics or gerontology, they put them in the what? In the mainstream of the curriculum, so that medical personnel, when they come out from those universities, those medical schools, they come actually and help the people who are being affected by dementia.
You know, that's a real challenge for you. You said you know, 2016, you started the organization. How do you feel it's gone since 2016? You know, I guess you're making great progress.
Yeah, we are. At one point, we had challenges just registering the organization because of very few data, limited data on the condition itself. Nothing has been written so far. But people now are coming up. We have neurologists who are now, we are speaking. We have actually incorporated health personnel into the organization. We have neurologists, we have doctors from various backgrounds who understand the condition. So this is how now we are trying to engage the government, to actually talk to them, so that we also have a slot in the healthy institutions, because dementia here in Zambia is not in the health space. It's not there. It's not there. It's now, that's when people are now coming. After we have sensitized many communities, many people, it's now that's when they are saying, no, this thing is actually real. It's there. So far, so good. However, we don't have a policy which guides us on how to go about the dementia. But we are lobbying the government, and they are well aware. We have met the permanent secretary, Minister of Health. We've met the minister. We've talked about it. Now, you know, certain diseases like dementia, they are not political diseases like cancer, like malaria. So they are less pronounced in public and because of the condition itself. Other people hide their loved ones. They wouldn't want people to know that they have persons suffering from dementia within their homes or within their family. So that has also been a huge challenge. But all in all, we are moving forward.
And I guess, you know, here in the UK, we have a social care system where we have forms of residential care which cater for people living with dementia. I guess, is it still in Zambia very much that the family are seen as the ones to look after their elders, as it were?
Yeah, we're trying to look at that institutional care facilities and the home-based care facilities. But it is working well for us if it's at community level, family level, because we had the Maramba family aged care family organization. The aged people were abandoned. So we feel working with these elderly people in their communities, living with their families, is actually paying dividend, and we are actually seeing things working out. And like where you say institutional residential areas where you put these aged people, it doesn't work here because the government has very little support towards that. So even that you start something, you have people whom you are caring for at that residential area, we find that the government doesn't actually pay much attention to that. So we're trying to move away from that to actually reinforce family care, though it's informal. That way, people will not actually lose track of their loved ones. They will be there for them. What they need is just support. and how to go about with people living with dementia.
And, you know, you say, you know, the government aren't particularly supportive. As an organisation, how do you get your support to allow you to carry on?
Well, the whole thing is just we are working in pro bono. Whatever little we have, we do some kind of contributions here and there. So those people who have actually lived the experience, we have grouped up. And we are doing this, actually. That's the little support we are getting from ourselves. Sure.
And
we have had more.
Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of, you know, Africa as a nation, do you have links with other countries who are trying to do similar things to you?
Yeah, we have such organizations in Namibia, in Kenya, in Tanzania here, in Zimbabwe. We meet under the Alzheimer's Disease International umbrella as association, as a member associations of that ADI. Sure. So similar things are going on in these African countries, but with a different level of importance. The whole of Africa, maybe just have Nigeria, Kenya and South Africa. They haven't actually put the policy in place, but they are heading towards that. They have various challenges, and the challenges cut across these countries and their different levels.
And is it generally kind of seen still in terms of a condition of age? Whereas, you know, obviously young onset dementia can affect anyone. But, you know, even when you mention the word dementia, if someone knows something about dementia, they still think it is to do with advancing age.
Actually, what we looked at when we were forming the organization, we looked at age and the people who were affected at that time. Mostly they were elderly people, they have reached advanced age, and many of them were women, around 82, 79, an old lady has been killed, suspicion of which. Now we're trying to look at, would this really be the issue? Or there's something behind this. So that's how now, I took my dad and was diagnosed by a Congolese doctor, who had experience in such field. He said, this is dementia. What your dad is doing, these are symptoms. They're pointing to symptoms of dementia. That's how we woke up, and we haven't explored to check if this really can affect the young ones. But at the current moment, we just know that this affects the aged people. And mostly these are the people who are failing to communicate with you. When they ask this, answer something different. The other day, he asked the same question, answered something different. So after that, after learning about dementia from the doctor, on people above 65.
And is it still a case that some people look as a shameful thing to have someone living with dementia in their family? Is this something you come up against?
What we're saying it's very wrong to actually keep someone in the homes. You have to come out and seek medical redress, seek advice on how to go about to care for these people, because the caregiving role in the community is at informal level. It's not formal, but informal. So those care partners, they also need that little education about dementia. They need to know how to go about with such people. They need to know the language, the tone of the voice, and all those things. So we have been engaging families during dementia-friendly sessions. We have what we call dementia-friendly sessions. That's when we talk, we teach the care partners, explain to them how things, of course, with the help of other organizations that have actually printed these documents. So we actually just rely on the same documents to relay that information to the community and how best they can care for their loved ones.
And is it a tough job? Because, you know, some of these things regarding you were saying about witchcraft and these beliefs that may have gone back hundreds of years, I guess. And suddenly you're trying to turn it on its head, aren't you, and take people away from those beliefs they've had for a long period of time. That must be a really tough thing to do.
Very tough thing. Yes, witchcraft is there. But now accusing someone who's not practicing witchcraft, that's where it's wrong. Witchcraft is there, but accusing somebody wrongly that you're practicing witchcraft, we're not. That's where we are saying, no, this is not okay. Witchcraft, we believe it's there. It's been there time immemorial. But where you accuse someone falsely, accuse someone wrongly, that's where the issue comes in. And then you find that you accuse somebody falsely, then he ends up being killed by the community, the masses, the what? So that's wrong. That's what we are saying. This is wrong.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word podcast with my guest, Anderson Simfokwe. You made up a number of different regions, if I'm right, of thinking as well, in terms of Zambia. You know, how difficult is it to get all those regions thinking in the same way? I guess that's where you need the government to come in and give you a policy.
There's a narrative that I would explain to you. Here is an old lady, around 79, 80. She travels to visit the sun in the city, in Lusaka, the capital city. This lady is not comfortable with the toilet setup of the house, since she's from the village. She even tells the family there in Lusaka to say, me, I can't use this. Then there's an outside toilet. That's the one she's comfortable with. Then she goes out at night to help herself in that toilet. As she's heading back to the main house, she misses it. Something just clicks, she misses it. She goes out through the gate, thinking that's the house. She misses everything. Then she starts walking the whole night, half naked. Then people find that person around in the early hours. They will say, no, this one is a witch. She's been frying at night. That's why she has dropped here. But when you look at what actually happened, it's different from the evidence that people are putting across. No, it's this and this and this. So that's why we are saying, even in the city, they don't understand it. Zambia, in all the regions, they believe witchcraft. They believe in witchcraft. Witchcraft. In all the regions, we have Northwestern, we have Western Province, we have Southern, we have Lusaka, Central, about 10 regions. Deaths of this nature have happened where an older person has been just killed on suspicion that he or she is practicing witchcraft. And it's something that is well documented. The police report, but they rarely give us feedback on what went on with the perpetrators of that. So just, you know, nothing, just don't hear anything about the perpetrators of the vice. So that's where we are saying, no, even the police are not doing a service to us. These things, they must have to make a follow-up, get hold of the culprits, the perpetrators of such vices, and let justice now prevail. In Zambia, we have a Witchcraft Act in the laws of Zambia, Chapter 90 of the laws of Zambia. It incriminates acts of witchcraft. And such brutal victimization among the elderly people is also there. And there are penalties. Now, we've never heard that this person has been arrested, imprisoned over that. Oh, we hear, no, the law, it's course, but nothing is expressed.
Different symptoms related to different types of dementia. That makes it more difficult for you because, you know, I know that, you know, the name of the organisation is the Alzheimer's Disease and Related Dementias. So we're also looking at a whole load of other things which can give a whole wide variety of symptoms. And that, with people such entrenched views, that must be really difficult to explain as well.
Yeah, especially issues to do with the brains. Alzheimer's disease is very common. It's the one that is common. These other diseases under the umbrella of dementia, it's not easy to point to someone if he has another type of dementia that this one is doing this and this. But those that are affected with the brains, that's where the issues are. Well, they will speak to themselves. Here in Africa, when you are talking just to yourself, they say, no, this person is a witch. He's talking with the dead people. But this is one of the symptoms of people suffering from Alzheimer's. They will have hallucination, talk to themselves, do this. Then they'll say, no, he or she's behaving this. It's because of those people he has killed. They have now risen against him. That's why he's talking to himself. So what do they do? Those who lost their loved one, their bread earners during that time, they'll say, oh, so this one is the one who killed our relative. And what will happen? They will kill that one in the cold blood. At night, someone just goes out, they shoot using those muzzle loaders, boom, they run away. In the morning, you hear, no, here a 77-year-old old man has been killed on the suspicion of practicing witchcraft. This is what this is what is in the news. But there is nothing like the law enforcement agencies to actually incriminate and make follow-ups. Reports are there. They pick the bodies, they bury, they do what, but I see very little actions from the government, from the police. That's why we are now, we want to put up a document that will incriminate, a document that will protect people living with dementia, a document that will support people living with dementia. Excuse me, because such people are even excluded from the community. They live outside, in the outskirts of the community, with very deplorable conditions. So we are saying, no, this is not good. Let's take good care of our loved one, the elderly people. After all, they are the custodian of knowledge. We learn a lot from these elderly people. So this is what we are campaigning. This is what we are telling the communities. We have impacted. Things are changing. We're just getting pockets of such reports. But on average, people have heard, and they are taking good care of their older persons.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I guess just kind of, to conclude on the witchcraft thing, I mean, you say, you know, you've got legislation there in Zambia. Is that similar in other parts of Africa that you know of?
Namibia has one. I have not heard of Kenya. Zimbabwe has one. I've read through. Namibia, I've read through the document. They are just one and the same. In Zimbabwe, for instance, in Zimbabwe, they are saying witchcraft is good. If it's for a purpose, a good purpose. Then again, to come and say witchcraft is bad, it's like we are now contradicting. So these laws of witchcraft is different. It's different in different countries. But here in Zambia, it incriminates the practice of witchcraft. Chapter 90. Of the laws of Zambia, it talks about witchcraft. You can Google that one and you can read through and see what it talks about.
It's been fascinating talking to you, Anderson. Just final question. I mean, you know, you've been doing a great job since 2016. Hopefully we can talk again. If we were talking again in a couple of years' time, Where do you hope to have got to?
Yeah, we hope to actually have a law in place, a police direction that will give direction on how to go about than us working from the vacuum. We need to have a police directive there so that government is held accountable if things don't work well. And again, these elderly people, they're also citizens of the same countries. They're the people who are voting in this rural setting, voting for those people to go to parliament, to be ministers, to be what? But they're leaving them out when they're sharing the national cake. We need to have hospitals for such, specifically for elderly people. Because here, what they do, they will say, no, you are not sick. You are just too old. You are not sick. You are too old. That's why you are feeling like that. So in short, they are saying you are finished. They can't even administer any medicine. They will just give you wrong prescriptions. So what we are saying, if we can have a law in place, we should have... government should support these people at local level, at the family levels, provide for these people who are doing more services to the elderly people, like care partners. Government should help. How? They can come up with training sessions in the hospitals. They train people on how to go about. That's what we want. This should be documented, put in black and white, so that when you go there to challenge themselves, this is what you have said, but this is not happening. Why have you left these people out? They are also citizens of the country. So that's what we are heading to. Already, the organization is in Lusaka. Me, I live about 1,200 kilometers from the city. It's a border with Tanzania. I'm around Tanzania and the shoppings, we do it in Tanzania. So we have an organization, the organization is there in Lusaka, capital city. It's being manned by Dr. Moses Mata, the neurologist. It's there in Kitwe. It's being manned by Dr. Emmanuel Mukambo. It's there in Indola. It's there in Kapiri. So it's now rolling out. We're trying to reach out throughout the country so that this message can be shared everywhere.
Well, sure. We wish you the best of luck, Anderson. I think you've done a great job so far. And hopefully we can keep in touch and find out how you're getting on in the future. And for now, anyway, thank you so much for being my guest on the D Word.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Anderson for giving us such a fascinating insight into life with dementia in Zambia. You can find out more details about his work on the Alzheimer's Disease International website at www.alzint.org. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk here on the D Word Podcast.